Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
It's a Reaction Monday, powered by Superbook Sports. Here's Schlereth and Evans on Denver Sports Station, 1043 The Fan.
Check. All right, here we go. How you doing?
I'm good, buddy.
That was weird. It didn't sound right.
Yeah, it sounded.
I hate that when it doesn't sound right in my ears. Drives me nuts.
Yeah, oh yeah, that'll get you. It'll get you, Mike. It'll get you. Kind of like the Chiefs.
Ugh.
It'll get you.
All right, so let's jump right into it. It is a Bronco Reaction Monday after what you witnessed last night. Give us your thoughts. RamosLot.com, text line 303-713-1043. Just a quick sample. I love them when they're already waiting for us.
Okay. All right.
When we come in here and they're already here. So, for example, can't wait to hear Stink make excuses for his guy Teddy. I told you so. Island just got very small and wet, but I know he'll crawfish his way out and say us fans just don't understand football. Well, that didn't take long.
No.
All right.
It didn't.
Well, what about old Teddy Tryhard? Threw his body into Sorensen on the return.
We all good? On the pick.
Everyone good? We all good now with Teddy?
We all right with
he
that?
He tried hard. Now it's Pat Surtain who is making business decisions.
Oh.
This week we'll be skewering Pat Surtain for his lack of courage.
Courage,
I said.
Yeah.
He's got no courage. Gotcha.
You know what? That was on the other day. I was just flipping through channels. That was on there when I was in my hotel room. And actually, well, I fell asleep to it. Courage.
Anywho.
Yeah. Anywho.
How about Teddy?
He's bad. I mean, what are you going to say? He's bad. He was bad. I don't know, you know, I don't know what to tell you. Like, you think that Drew Lock would have won that game? Is that what you think? You think Drew Lock's better than Teddy Bridgewater? Is that what you think? I mean, fan base.
I don't know if that's what the texter's saying. I think he is just looking for an admission from you that Teddy Bridgewater was terrible. That if they had gotten any kind of competent quarterback play last night, they got the running game you always clamor for. They got that in spades. So just come out and admit that if Teddy Bridgewater plays a competent game, the Broncos have a chance to win that game.
Did the Broncos, with competent quarterback play, do the Broncos have a chance to win that game? Yeah, with competent play calling, with competent special teams play, with competent, I mean, come on. Like there's a lot of things that aren't competent. You throw one down the middle of the football field on a post, and Cortland Sutton quit running on it. I'm not saying that he would have caught it, but like all those things are Teddy's fault too, right? I mean, okay, Teddy's the worst quarterback ever. You're right; he was no good, and they should have started Drew Lock from the start. We told you from day one. I told you from day one. Teddy is not the answer. Teddy is not your long-term quarterback. Did I not say that from day one? Have I not said that forever? He's the best that you have right now. Do you know who the guy that I really wanted to go after in the offseason? Do you remember the guy who was like, as a free agent, shouldn't we go after Gardner Minshew?
Oh, yes. Looked good last night. And Stafford.
Well, I wanted Stafford, yes, obviously. But, you know, once we didn't get Stafford, I thought Minshew would give you a chance to compete. It doesn't. It really doesn't matter. I mean, you know, you guys think that Justin Fields, you know, would be lighting up. You don't win in this league. You don't win because of a rookie quarterback. You win with a rookie quarterback. And the bottom line, the bottom line for Teddy Bridgewater is for Teddy Bridgewater to win consistently, everything else has to be right. You have to have a coach that knows how to use timeouts. You have to have a coach that knows when not to challenge. You don't just challenge because you're mad. You don't lose a timeout because, hey, I'm mad. I'm going to show you guys. I know this won't get overturned, but I'm going to do it anyway because it'll show you. You can't have a special teams gaffe every single game. I mean, there's a formula to winning. You get down there, you run the snot out of the ball, you convert a couple of fourth downs, and then you get down into the very tight red zone, and you've already decided in your mind you're going for it. You're going for it twice. And on third down, you throw it. Shoot, if you've already decided it and you're cramming it down their throat, run it back-to-back run plays. And you know, for all the people who, the D-Max of the world, I told you this running the ball won't work. You've got to score points in the passing game. Throwing the ball. 40 attempts isn't good for you. You want more than 40 attempts?
Well, you and I have had this argument before. You pass to score, you pass to win in this league.
No, I'd say I disagree with that. Yeah, I think that's baloney.
Because if you, what you saw was you did everything right. You ran the football. You put yourself in a position to be able to do play action and get high percentage throws. You ran the ball exceptionally well, but you didn't score points. And the only way you score points, and thus the only way you win in this league, is if you can use your running game to set up your passing game, but your running game only matters if you have the quarterback to make it matter.
You have to be able to throw the ball. To me, when you want to throw the ball, like you have to be able to run the ball when you want to run the ball, you've got to be able to do that in those critical situations. But when you're running the ball that well, you should be able to design some plays that are open. You should be able to design plays in that explosives. And, you know, ultimately, their passing game is just not very good. And, you know, is that part? Obviously, the quarterback is part of that. Protection's part of that. Route running is part of that. Breaking a tackle when you catch the ball is part of that. All that stuff, but just the oversimplification of, hey, you score points by throwing the ball. No, you score points by setting things up and doing things the right way, and then having receivers that are, when you have a one-on-one critical situation, they win. Now,
to your point, Chris Collinsworth on more than one occasion did say, these receivers need to win a battle. These receivers need to get open. These receivers need to do something special.
Correct.
Okay, coming up next, do we take any moral victories from this game? And did Vic at least earn points for his aggressiveness? That's coming up next. Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
All right, more reaction pouring in. We love hearing from you 6 a.m. texters. Let's see. What else we got? Broncos stink. They'll probably continue to lose to the Chiefs for at least another 12 straight times.
Oof, 12 straight.
What do you guys think about PS2 giving up on the goal line?
I go back and look at that.
Oh, he conceded the walk-in. He could have stepped up and tried to tackle Mahomes around the one-yard line. But I don't know. I don't know what went through his mind. He'll have to offer some kind of explanation whether or not he just thought that he was going out of bounds and he didn't realize they were near the pylon and he was going out of bounds and I can't hit the quarterback when he's going out of bounds. I don't know, but it certainly looked bad.
Well, what quarter was that in?
First. It was the first touchdown that first Casey scored.
So I was watching. I was in Chicago O'Hare. This is going to surprise a lot of people. My flight was delayed.
Out of O'Hare?
O'Hare. Right. My flight was delayed. So I actually got to watch the whole first half and part of the third quarter on my phone. So then when I got in last night, I rewatched the second half, the part of the third quarter I had watched already, and then the rest of the game. But watching it on my phone, I really didn't pick up on that. And so I have to go back and look at that, Pat Surtain.
Bring it up during the break. You can take it. Okay, we'll talk about it during the brew. Get your thoughts on it.
Okay, I'll take a look.
No way to pin on anyone else. Vic was fine. They ran the ball, played great defense. This was on Teddy and the special teams. Jason and Bozeman.
What about the receivers don't have any part of that? Protection doesn't have any part of that? Just Teddy, right? Guys not winning? That's not part of it?
I made the comment to you. It's very rare where it seems that Teddy Bridgewater has a clean pocket to just stand there for maybe 2 seconds, two and a half seconds.
Have you noticed in that broadcast, Chris Collinsworth talking about the fact that Teddy gets from one side to the other almost every time?
Yeah, the Drew Brees influence.
Mm-hmm. Why do you go from the front side to the back side?
Because you think you have time to?
No. Why do you go through progressions?
Find the open guy. I know I'm probably trying to
oversimplify
things, right? Yeah.
Right. You go
look through the defense one way, let them read your eyes, and then come back the other way.
Yeah, but you go through progressions. You go front side to back side. So if the front side is open, you know what you never get to?
Your backside?
Yeah. If the front side is open, if you win your route combination on the front side, you don't get to the backside. How many times did you see Teddy have to throw it to the backside after he read the front side?
So no one's getting open.
If you're not open, now Teddy will get off.
All these first round picks and
Teddy will get off things.
Second round picks. And
yeah, Teddy will get off things quickly. He'll get through quickly. But that's the point. If it's not open right now, if the timing isn't right, he's going to move through. And part of that is because he doesn't feel like he's going to get protected in the long haul. So if it's not open, if you don't win right now, he's off you. He's not waiting for, a slant to hit the second window, so to speak. He's going through it. Part of that, Mike, is winning right away, play design, all that kind of stuff. And, understanding the clock in your head that you have as a quarterback. And if you feel like, man, if I don't get through this in 2.2 seconds, then we're in trouble.
The game changed when they put together that 20-play drive, 90 yards, 10 minutes, and came away with nothing.
Correct.
Touchdown makes it 10-10. Field goal makes it 10-6. I get the idea. You're not going to beat the Chiefs kicking field goals. You go in with that mentality. It's the right mentality. I loved it when they went for it 4th and 7 at the Kansas City 42.
Mm-hmm.
Loved it. That said, was it the right decision to go for it on 4th and 2 at the 7? Or at that point, have you invested so much into that drive that you got to come away with points?
Well, yeah, I mean, I get it. I sit there and every weekend I'm doing this, right? Every weekend I'm in these situations that the Broncos found themselves in yesterday, last night. And I always think, listen, how have we gotten down here? Like, what have we leaned on? And in doing that, if we're physically dominating in the run game and we're going for we've got a two-play situation. What are we going to do? So if we already know we're going for it, we've already decided as a coaching staff we're going for it, what gives us...
You've already done it twice on the on the drive.
So what gives us the best opportunity to convert? What gives us the best opportunity? And I think one of the things that you get into, and I think this is something that's very important, your third down run package. What is your third down run package? Because you know what the defense is expecting. You know where they're cheating. They're cheating on, hey, man, they're going to throw the ball here. They're going to give us some type of play action, and they're going to throw the ball. And so my thought process is if you've got a two-down situation that you know you're going after, then what's my best run in third down? What's my best third down run? What's my best fourth down run? And we're going to continue to kind of pound the rock and use our running back who has been breaking tackle after tackle, got the highest broken tackle rate in the National Football League. That's kind of how I looked at that situation. So as soon as they went play action on third down, and, you know, there was an incomplete pass, you're just like, oh, gosh, here we go. Because then you knew, at that point, I'd have rather seen them throw it again in fourth down.
Good morning!
Morning!
It's time for your morning brew.
Things are going to get weird.
You're going to keep lightning, and you're going to crack thunder.
Okay, this guy needs coffee and coolers. Stat.
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange mocha frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy. This is some serious gourmet s***.
Let's get it on!
I mean, every drive you try to get points, but in a drive like that, when you win a situation, the ball already starting to drive backed up, and you get the ball out of there, and you get the ball all the way down the field, you don't score. You know, it just sucks, man.
Yeah, it sucks. The offense sucked. Teddy Bridgewater sucked. Offensive line sucked. Receivers didn't get open. Javonte Williams was awesome. And I think we saw the official passing of the torch yesterday to Javonte Williams. And, you know, Melvin Gordon just sort of, when he does come back, is the backup for the remainder of his time here. But why did this offense struggle so much? Was it the wind? I mean, it's not like Patrick Mahomes lit it up either. Patrick Mahomes, the mighty Patrick Mahomes, scored 16 points. So what was the deal? Well, you got your running game. Why didn't it translate to more points?
You did get your running. Well, because, one, Kansas City's playing great on the defensive side of the ball. And, I mean, you couldn't complete the ball. You just didn't play well. You didn't win your one-on-one battles on the offensive line situation. You didn't win your one-on-one battles as receivers, and you weren't accurate enough as a quarterback. I mean that to me is you want to put it in a nutshell. You got to win those situations, and you're 100% right. Patrick Mahomes wasn't good either. I mean, how many drops did he have? Two, how many errant balls did he throw? You ever see Patrick Mahomes, what did he complete, 50%, 51%, something like that? You ever see him throw as many errant balls as he threw in that game against the Broncos?
15 of 29 for 184 yards, no touchdowns and one pick. If you told me that would be Mahomes' numbers, if you told me that Tyreek Hill would have two catches for 22, Travis Kelce would have three for 27, I'd be like, oh, we in this game, bro.
We're winning.
We win this game. Instead, it was a rather comfortable 22-9 win for the Chiefs. Next on the Morning Brew.
I don't want to, paint that narrative that we played well enough to win. We didn't win. So, we got to get more takeaways. We gave up the score there early in the game. We got to play better in all three phases.
Hey, if he wants to pat himself on the back, go ahead. The defense showed. This is a better defense since Von Miller was traded. Vic has... In just the last few weeks has shut down Dak Prescott, Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert.
Yeah.
I mean, the defense is delivering as advertised. But it is a three-phase game, and that's why you can't make this a moral victory. Well, hey, we played well against Mahomes. It doesn't matter if your offense and your special teams stink.
You know what's interesting? We came into this game going, if they show well... You show well and you win a game, you play well and you have a close loss in KC, you feel good about it. they showed well, at least defensively they did. It was a close game.
It was 22-3. They got a garbage TV.
I mean, they got a the chef's got a interception return for a touchdown off a tip ball. I mean, that's kind of a garbage TD.
Well, they got it when it was still a game. I mean, they helped put the game out of reach.
You can't have it both ways. I mean, like, that game, what I'm saying is that game, defensively, they were stellar. They could have won that game.
So is it enough to give them a more?
What I'm saying is that was a close game. I mean, if they come away with points on that 20-play, 10-minute-plus drive, right, that's a game. And the bottom line is you come out feeling dirty. You come out feeling like even though you played them tight, you feel it's a disappointing feeling because the other parts I guess if you lost a game and your offense – if you lost a game 33-22 in your offense or 33-27 your offense performed, your defense just couldn't stop them, at least you'd feel like, we're close. We gave up 33 to Mahomes. Everybody gives up 33 to Mahomes and the Chiefs. They got Kelce. They got Tyreek Hill. Like, this, you walk away from this going, that's a close game, that's a winnable game, but I don't feel moral victory.
No, I was prepared to give out a moral victory. I was prepared to be happy with a moral victory. Feel like the gap was closing.
Right.
And take that momentum, even in a close loss, take it over the last five games and beat the Chiefs here on the last Sunday of the year, get into the playoffs, win 10 games. It's all good, but...
Mm-hmm.
I was prepared to give out a moral victory, but the way that game transpired and how bad they were on offense and how, once again, a crucial special teams, the play of the defense isn't enough to give them a moral victory. Next on the Morning Brew.
Bryce has tons of time, steps back, looks long, throws. Jameson Williams behind the defense. He's got it. Touchdown, Alabama!
Alabama Radio. All right, so the college football playoff is set. Here you go. You've got Alabama taking on Cincinnati and Michigan going up against Georgia. Let me just say, I think the fix was in.
Mm-hmm.
I think Georgia tanked on purpose. They knew that they weren't going to get knocked out with a loss. I think they rolled over to make sure that Alabama would get in as well. Two SEC teams. Huge payday for the SEC. That's my conspiracy theory, and I'm sticking to it.
I think Kirby Smart is like, you see the movie Waterboy?
Sure.
I think Kirby Smart is Mr. Coach Klein. Before Mr. Coach Klein got his onions and took on, what was the other coach's name? Can't remember what the other coach's name was. Our texters will know. I'm going to have me that little green playbook. I think Kirby Smart's got to wear a diaper when he faces Nick Saban. There ain't no way he was just rolling over. He'd love to knock Nick Saban out because Nick Saban is his daddy. Coach Bo.
Bo Lou.
Bo.
So.
Coach Red.
Friday, New
That's
Year's
right, Coach
Eve.
Red.
Friday's New Year's Eve is where you'll get those two matchups. Cincinnati and Alabama, Georgia and Michigan. Next on the Morning Brew.
Didn't like the way we played the first half of the game. Didn't manage the puck very well. But I think both goal one and goal two against are both turnovers. One neutral zone, one in the O zone. Talked about how dangerous Ottawa is off the rush.
How dangerous Ottawa is? That's an oxymoron right there. Jared Bednar's Avalanche lucky to escape with a point in Ottawa. So their road trip through Canada sees them go 0-1-1. Excuse me, 1-1-1. A win, a loss, an overtime loss.
Thank goodness we got that overtime loss point.
They
love
kinda,
those things. The overtime
kinda,
loss points.
They kind of muddle on here since they're
that's great.
Since their 6-game winning streak, they have gone 2-3. So road trip continues tonight in Philly. The Nuggets got a very good win over the Knicks, a wire-to-wire impressive win over the Knicks on Saturday. And their road trip continues. They're hanging in there. Nuggets are hanging in there so far on the road trip. We wondered whether or not they'd be able to do that on this road trip with all the injuries. And so far, they're 2-1 on this road trip. Continues tonight in Chicago. So both the Avalanche and Nuggets in action tonight, which means we'll have dual postgame shows immediately following both conclusions of those games with Sandy and Sean coming up tonight. That'll do it for the Morning Brew. Actually, let's get you your injury report presented by Spine One. Melvin Gordon missed yesterday's game with a shoulder and hip injury. We'll wait to hear more this week. Otherwise, the Broncos coming out of the game relatively healthy yesterday. Your injury report presented by Spine One, your one-stop shop for neck, back, and joint pain. Your chance to react, as always, throughout the course of the morning. James Merrillat will spread his rays of sunshine over what he sees with this Broncos edition coming up next. Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan. James is ready. Mark and I were talking. He was dispensing some football knowledge. James Merrillat from DenverFan.com ready to dispense. I don't know, whatever James dispenses. All right, do you take any moral victories out of last night?
Well, I hate moral victories as much as the next guy, but if you're just being honest and looking at the way the game went, there were some encouraging signs, right? Like Javonte Williams played really, really well in his first chance to be the bell cow back. And look, the Broncos went in there and they to some extent ran into the buzzsaw that is Arrowhead Stadium and an early good drive by the Chiefs. And they didn't just fold. Like, they can compete with that team. So that's the encouraging part of it. The discouraging part shouldn't be discouraging. It should have been, of course, aha moment for everybody. But the same issues that have plagued them for 2.5 years to 5.5 years hit them last night. They don't have a quarterback that can compete in that kind of game. And they have a coaching staff that is woefully inept. And the fact that anybody is surprised by those two things is a shock to me. So I took some encouraging things, and then I took away from that of, hey, maybe the fact that in the biggest stage and the biggest game since Super Bowl 50, the two issues that those of us who look at it objectively knew were issues were painfully obvious, maybe the Broncos won't talk themselves into a bad decision in the offseason. So that was a positive for me, for sure.
Hey, James, real quick, just offensively, let's go to that third down and two, that fourth down and two that, after a 20-play drive that didn't yield any points. And just overall, the 9 points that the Broncos were able to score, do you put it on, because a lot of the texters just put it all on Teddy Bridgewater. It's Teddy Bridgewater. How much goes on Teddy Bridgewater? How much goes on Pat Shurmur, the play caller? Just kind of how do you divvy that up when you kind of sit back and reassess what happened last night?
I probably go 50-50, Stink. Look, Teddy Bridgewater was not good. I think his two completions that resulted in first downs on third down were both little swing passes to a running back, and the running back did all the work. He's just his inability to get the ball downfield, and I'm not talking 50-yard bombs. I'm just talking 15, 18, 20-yard passes, finding the wide receivers, hitting them in stride, getting plays that can get yards after catch. He just can't do it. So I put part of it on him, but a lot of it is on Pat Shurmur, because it's not as though Pat Shurmur's offense is great when someone other than Teddy Bridgewater runs it. It wasn't any good with Drew Lock last year. It wasn't any good with Jeff Driscoll last year. It wasn't any good in New York and Cleveland and other places he's been. So some of it certainly falls on him. And that was the pivotal moment in the game. And I think it's a microcosm of what the problem is with this team, right? Like, you should have known, all right, we're in four down territory. We're going for it if we don't get it here. And sequenced your plays in that regard. It didn't look as though they knew that. And then to me, the fact that they were confused on fourth and two, and Vic Fangio admitted it after the game, and then they were so confused about being confused that they didn't know they were confused and couldn't call a timeout. Like, if that doesn't sum up the Vic Fangio era, the biggest play, honestly, in almost 6 years, and your team was confused and didn't even know to call a timeout, I don't know what does. That is it in a nutshell. And I put it on Teddy. I put it on Pat Shurmur. I put it on Vic. It's all of those guys. It's all the same guys we've been pointing the finger at and talking about for all season long. And there it was on full display last night.
All right, got a little over a minute. Where are you at now with where the season is at and where it's going?
I remain where I've been all year long. I think this team is in the HOV lane to nowhere. They're going to finish 8-9, 9-8, not make the playoffs, and then they're going to be stuck. They're going to be sitting there saying, what do we do? What do we do with Vic? What do we do with Teddy? They still may talk themselves into bringing him back. I mean, it's such an up and down, up and down, up and down. Right after the Philly game, after the business decision, everybody wanted Vic gone and Teddy gone. They go win one game against the Chargers, and everybody changes their tune. Now they're back the other side. Heck, if they beat the Lions, if they beat the Bengals, everybody will say they should come back. They shouldn't. We just need to remember last night. Remember what it looked like in front of a national TV audience when it was just painfully obvious that Andy Reid was so much better than Vic Fangio and Patrick Mahomes was so much better than Teddy Bridgewater. You have to upgrade those spots. Don't talk yourself into anything else. But look, this team's going to win a couple more games and they're going to finish in no man's land. That's where they're heading.
All right, James.
Barrel of sunshine this morning.
Man. Yes. Well, at least you're consistent. You are consistent. I'd be disappointed if you weren't. Okay, so thank you. Have a great week. We'll talk to you a little later on.
All right, fellas. Appreciate it.
There goes James Merrillat, DenverFan.com's own James Merrillat. He's presented by Old Chicago Pizza and Tap Room. Of course, we're giving you a chance to get your reaction through to us on the RamosLaw.com text line. 303-713-1043. I would debate one thing that he said right there at the end, that after the win over Dallas or after the win over the Chargers, everybody wanted Fangio and Bridgewater back.
I don't think anybody wanted.
You've never
that.
Said that.
No.
I've never said that.
No.
Give Broncos country some credit. I don't think that the fans are swinging that wildly back and forth. They may be consistent with the idea they want him gone, but one win isn't enough to swing it back, the pendulum the other way, to say, let's bring him back.
Yeah, I don't know that anybody said, let's bring him back.
All right, more of your reaction coming up next. Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.